Bald-Faced Truth, Samson in for John Canzano today. Appreciate you hanging with me on your Wednesday. JC's down in Vegas covering the Pac-12 tournament, and we've got him on the show right now. John, how you doing, man?
I'm well, man. I'm well. I'm glad that you got into the studio.
Yeah, me too. Me too. You know, I try to barge in here every opportunity that I get. I appreciate you letting me keep the seat warm. I got to ask you, man, right off the bat, apropos of virtually nothing, what's your favorite 80s song? We've been talking about that today.
Oh, gosh. On the spot, probably I'd go into my file. I would pull, like, the theme from Breakfast Club.
Simple Minds.
Simple Minds. I'm blanking on the song. There you go.
That's a solid,
An 80s song, right? It's a time travel experience.
I think that's 1986. Captures the moment perfectly. That's a solid choice, man. So talking about the tourney down here. So I got to ask, what happened to Gonzaga yesterday?
Well, they just couldn't shoot. They couldn't score. They couldn't shoot. It was interesting. It just sort of caved in on them, too. And look, St. Mary's was playing for something. Gonzaga was not, right? Gonzaga's going to be a one seed regardless. The committee will look past that. They'll say, hey, they got to the championship game. So I think you're talking about simple motivation right there. And, you know, St. Mary's was really fighting and very physical. They played a very physical game. And a big wake-up call for Gonzaga, though.
Yeah, could you imagine this team with Zach Collins?
Oh, it'd be ridiculous. Like, yes, I can. It should be. But Pac-12 tournament is underway, and Arizona and USC playing right now. And USC just went on an 11-0 run, and they lead Arizona handily, 21-12.
Nice, nice. What's the action like down there, man? How's the crowd?
It's just because this is the first game, right? It's a noon game. Yeah. This city is barely waking up. I think it's a really interesting matchup to have. I think it's one of the better games that we should see, because it's supposed to be more competitive than maybe the Oregon game tonight against Washington State. But I think, I think that USC has showed up much more focused than I thought they would. And the Pac-12 will be happy, because at the end of this game, one of the teams that's, you know, been in the middle of these NCAA investigations is going to be out and done, and probably going to be Arizona with Sean Miller, who I don't think is going to last.
Yeah, let's talk about this. And you wrote a great piece in Oregon Live about USC, kind of in particular. Man, what's going on there? It feels like just everything is for sale right now, doesn't it?
It does, and here's the problem, all right? So you're the Pac-12. We all know the problems that the Pac-12 have. It's a distribution, it's a visibility problem. It's, you know, it's a money problem. They don't give the financial distribution that the other conferences give. But around that, if USC would just be what USC once was, if they could be successful in football, had not cycled through Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian and now Clay Helton, who went 5-7 last year, if USC was good, I think that nationally the conversation would be a much different one for the Pac-12. So my thing is, look, you've had two federal investigations into corruption in the last 18 months. USC was the only school named in both. They have a president who got forced out over a sex abuse scandal. They've gone through a mess in football, and Cliff Kingsbury included. They don't get him. USC is not carrying water right now, and the Pac-12 needed to get its act together.
Yeah, what can they do to climb out of this mess, or do they even care?
No, I think they care. I just think they've got a leadership problem, right? And I don't blame the interim president. She's in an interim position. She's got no authority. You've gone from Pat Hayden, who was a weird AD choice to begin with, to Lynn Swan, who's even a more strange choice. So I think USC's trying to look like old USC. It's not ultimately USC of yesteryear. Like, remember, beating USC used to mean something, Peter. That was a big win. Now beating USC, I mean, everybody, seven teams did that in football last year.
John Canzano joins us from Vegas, where he's covering the Pac-12 tournament. Let's talk about Ducks and Washington State tonight. I mean, you wouldn't expect Oregon to have any problems at all. Are they just looking to build a big lead and rest their guys for tomorrow against Utah?
Yeah, that's what they have to do, okay? Because they're going to have to play four games in 4 days. And what you want, if you're an Oregon fan, is you want to see Oregon get out of there with a W tonight and get out of there with low minutes on the starters, because you want fresh legs going into that second game against Utah. It's really interesting. I think Washington State's a mess. Ernie Kent struggled there. He's never really put a staff around him that could help him with the roster that he has. But, you know, keep in mind, any given day in the Pac-12, right? We saw Cal beat Washington not that long ago. So Oregon's got to come in and not look past them. But simultaneously, if you're a Duck fan, you'd love to see a 10- or 15-point lead in the first half. You'd love to see Dana Altman play his starters low minutes and advance to that second-round semifinal tomorrow against Utah in a way that is low maintenance.
You know, we had Matt Prehm on the show yesterday, and I want to play a little cut of something he said here. Hold on.
I think we're going to see a civil war in the championship game. I think that's going to be how things play out. We're going to see Oregon State and Oregon, and from our market, that's exactly what we all want.
Do you agree with Prehm? You think we could see a Ducks-Beavers final?
I think he's pandering to the Ducks and Beavers fans right now. Come on. Like, look, I could see either one of those teams making it there. I could even see either one of those teams winning it. I just don't trust. Like, I haven't trusted Oregon State in the last 2 weeks. They've played competitively but haven't finished games. And Oregon, every time I pat Oregon on the back, after they win a couple in a row or three in a row, they turn around and lay an egg. So I've been very reluctant to trust either one of those. But, again, we're talking about the Pac-12. Is it unthinkable to think Oregon could win this thing? No. Would Oregon State, could they put it together? Absolutely. Or could they both be out by tomorrow night? Yes, they could both be out by tomorrow night. So I think it's going to be that kind of tournament. I think if you're a Pac-12 fan, you want to see somebody other than Arizona State or Washington win this thing, just like St. Mary's getting the automatic bid in the WCC. You'd love to see three Pac-12 teams, at least two Pac-12 teams, get into the NCAA tournament, and that might be the way to do it.
What else or who else do you have your eye on down there? What's something that is kind of interesting that you're seeing that maybe we're not necessarily talking about up here?
Well, on Saturday morning, the athletic directors are going to meet with Larry Scott, the conference. Everybody knows Larry Scott, Lima Larry, running this conference. It's important because it's been 5 years since the athletic directors were invited to sit down with the university presidents and the commissioner. So I think it really is marking an attempt by the conference to get back to the campus level with the administrators who are responsible for spending the money and have conversations with them about budget, finance, make them feel more included. The question will be, is it a real gesture or is it just a token move? And we won't know until after those ADs come out of that meeting and we learn what happens. But they're going to be talking about a lot of important things in that meeting, including the equity sale potentially of some of the media rights or also potentially the bowl alliances. I expect that'll be announced officially by the conference on Saturday after that meeting. They'll come out and say, we've got an agreement to play an SEC team in the Vegas Bowl. All that stuff's been leaked, but I think we'll get sort of that affirmation after Saturday. And obviously we'll get a conference champion, tournament champion crowned on Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot to watch for on Saturday. JC, appreciate you taking the time on your own show. Appreciate you letting me keep the seat warm and enjoy the... By the way, I got to ask you, before I let you go, what time do people actually wake up in Vegas? No one is actually up before 2 in the afternoon, are they?
It's really interesting. It was about 11 a.m., and I was in one of the hotel lobbies walking by a buffet place, and I saw Washington State's team having breakfast. Ernie Kent was not with him, but Washington State was having breakfast. Utah was having breakfast. So I got a chance to see those guys. But this city kind of wakes up slow. And as you know, at about midnight, 1 a.m., it's pumping. So it's a little slow moving.
JC, appreciate the time. We'll see you next week, bud.
Okay. Take care, man.
Take care. John Canzano joining his own show. That's Saturday meeting. That's going to be something to watch. And his point about are there going to be actual meaningful discussions or is this just a token meeting? I think that's a great point. And knowing Larry Scott, knowing everything that we know about Larry Scott, who's in his fancy $7,500 a night. And to be clear, full transparency, that was comped. That's part of the deal. But his $7,500 a night room at the Aria with butler service. You wonder exactly how he's going to address the ADs there.
You really wish you could be a fly on the wall in that meeting to see what actually gets discussed, because you've heard some ADs come out and not speak against Larry Scott, but just talk about, Yeah, we need to change some things. We need to hold him more accountable. Yeah. And then you go, will you? Will you, when you're sitting face-to-face and you're given this opportunity to not necessarily put him through the ringer, but to just give him what you want to say to his face, are you going to do it?
Yeah, that's the real question, isn't it? We'll see. By the way, JC, favorite 80s song, Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds. That's a solid choice. Solid, solid choice. All right, if you're on hold, I see you. I'm coming to you right after the break, but I got to get out. Your big splash is ahead.